This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled to be joined by Bill Hudson. Bill's the Chief Information Officer at John Muir Health. Bill's going to talk to us about priorities today, the CIO role, what he's most excited about, his career, and a little bit more. Bill, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Bill Hudson. I'm the CIO of John Muir Health. We're a community health system in the East Bay of San Francisco, predominantly serving Contra Costa County.
And talk about the role of CIO today, and more importantly, your career, and how did you become a CIO?
That's actually kind of a funny story. 20-something odd years ago, I was in a review and a development meeting with my supervisor at the time, Karen Fairchild. I was at Cerner. She was my director, and she asked me where I wanted to be in 20 years. And I said, I want to be a CIO. And, you know, I had no idea what that really meant. I had no idea what it would really take to get there. But I knew I wanted to work in healthcare, and I knew I wanted to help, you know, lead, you know, technology initiatives in healthcare. And over the next 20 years, I've had kind of a varied career. I've been on the vendor side, as I said, working for Cerner something over 20 years ago. I ran global technologies for Cerner. And then, you know, I worked in the consultative space in healthcare with HealthLink back in the day, which was a super amazing experience. And then, you know, worked in consulting, and then I took a job on the provider side. And, you know, this is I love it. I love doing the work. And I get asked a lot of times, you know, what side do I look working better on? I work being a vendor, I work being a consultant. And I always come back to, you know, I love the work. I love working with doctors. I love working with nurses. I love working directly and helping our communities. And it's just, there's nothing I get that's more satisfying out of it. And the thing that surprised me probably the most along my journey is that the farther along I got, the less and less it was about technology, and more it was about relationships, and more it was about working with teams to solve really complicated problems. Technology was a component of that, but it wasn't the point of it. So I've been very lucky. I've been very fortunate. I had a lot of great people I've worked with. Friend and mentor John Russell, who was my previous boss, is a great guy and like really responsible for helping me develop and get to where I'm at today. So, you know, it's a result of a lot of great people I've worked with over the years, and not a little hard work. So.
And so talk about these two things. You mentioned first making a decision literally 20 years ago that this is what you wanted to do. You also mentioned the great truism that the deeper you get, the further you get into it, the less it's really about the technology and the more it's about building teams. The more it's about, have you put the right people in place? Have you been able to retain and recruit and develop the right people? It becomes more and more about those skills versus true technology skills. And I'd say at least half of all CIOs don't really come from a technology background. So talk for a moment about someone who's a recent graduate today. You know, Grace was our producer, a recent graduate, you know, right there. Take a moment and tell us, what advice do you give to a young person trying to develop a great career? Give us a couple thoughts around that.
You know, I actually had a conversation with my middle son today, who's working on a finance degree. And he was considering what he wanted to do for an internship and, you know, how he wanted to proceed. And, you know, he was considering a couple different options. And, you know, when we talked about it, you know, the future of sales, you know, really is consultative selling. It's, you know, taking really complicated solutions, really complicated, you know, components and putting them together in a way that really solves challenges that a customer might have. And in a lot of ways, that is, I think, some of the best experience that you can get for being a technology leader is that understanding of how to put together a complicated solution, how to be able to communicate the value of that overall solution, and how to help people understand maybe needs that they don't even know that they have. And so if I was to give somebody going into the space, there's a couple of tracks. You can be the smartest, most technical person possible and have a fantastic and wonderful career. But if you really want to, I think, really accelerate your career, it's about understanding how to work with people and how to sell complicated ideas and make them simple in ways that people can understand and people can adopt. And so, you know, I know sales is sometimes looked at as by pure tech folks as maybe not an aspiring career, but there's some amazing skills that you can put together when you work in that space, and you combine those with a solid technology foundation, a really strong work ethic. I think it can really help propel any young person into whatever future that they imagine for themselves.
I actually think it's actually brilliant advice, in that if you can become great in that, it's just a foundation for so many other things. And as you're right, so many people get rewarded for being great analytically that they don't spend the time in that side of their efforts. And it's so important for personal skills, persuasion skills, communication skills, and so many of the skills. At the end of the day, a lot of businesses start with sales, and a lot of things start with persuasion. Let me take you to a different tack. Talk for a second about being a CIO and top three priorities today as CIO.
Well, I mean, you know, today is hardly normal, right? Our top priority today is to care for our community in a way, maybe even more than we've ever had before. We're trying to get as many people in our community vaccinated as quickly as possible. We want to make sure we're doing that in the most equitable way possible. You know, we're using technology really to reach out and to reach our community and to get our elderly and our at-risk population into the vaccination queue, to get them signed up, get them vaccinated. And, you know, the proudest thing I had was, you know, that my team first released our initial vaccination availability for our John Muir patients back on Martin Luther King Jr.'s weekend. We released 6,000 appointments to 75 and olders digitally. We filled 6,000 appointments up in less than 24 hours. We opened up another 2,000, and we filled those up in less than 24 hours after that. The oldest person that signed up digitally for a patient was 109 years old. So I think the idea that that our seniors can't use technology is a bit busted. But by the same token, I'm very proud of what we did. We saved off a very large percentage of our available vaccinations for elderly that were at risk, that didn't have digital access, that we directly reached out to. And through this entire process, we've used a combination of technology and analog methods to make sure that we're reaching out to our communities. We're making sure that we're focusing on our communities that have been hardest hit by COVID, to making sure that they're getting access to vaccination in an equitable fashion. So you talk about our priority today. You know, our number one priority today is to get everybody vaccinated, and to get everybody back to their daily life as much as possible. And, you know, are there other priorities? Absolutely. You know, we need to continue as an organization in healthcare to be better at risk. You know, our overall risk business is the future of how healthcare is evolving. It's the future of how we're getting reimbursed for healthcare. And, you know, you're only going to be good at risk if you're using data, analytics, using your EMR, and using your digital tools to connect with patients when they're sick, when they're well, when you think they might be sick, and to just to make sure that you've got the entire care process wired to make sure that people are connected to their clinicians as much as possible, and we know as much as possible about where they are in their care plans. So I think those are our two biggest initiatives. And I think the third biggest initiative we have in healthcare is that the last year has really changed organizations' perspective about how people can be productive and where they can be productive at. You know, I firmly believe that the future of healthcare location needs to be an option. I think the future of healthcare support, our physicians can be remote. Our support staff can be remote, and they need to be able to provide and function as well from their home location or the remote work location as they do when they're in the office shoulder to shoulder. And a lot of what we need to do as a technology organization, technology part of the organization, is to remove the friction from those experiences. And so, you know, the tools work and they're facile, and that people are able to use them as an extension of their work and not a replacement for that work.
Bill, thank you. I think fascinating sort of work from home, remote work, the concept of vaccinations and getting it to work well. Fascinating story about a 109-year-old logging on and getting signed up for vaccination is magnificent. And then working on the movement towards value-based care and so forth. Talk for a moment about, you've had a remarkable career. You've got a remarkable positive perspective. Just a pleasure to visit with you. Talk about what you're most excited about this year. When you look at 2021, what are you most excited about?
I hope. I mean, 2020 was a tough year, and you know, it would have been really easy, I think, for anybody that was in healthcare in 2020 to say, you know, this is terrible. I want to do something different. And I think that, you know, the opportunity that we have for us in 2021 to leverage all the lessons that we learned during the pandemic in terms of how we engage with people, how we communicate with people, how we care for people. I think, you know, the thing I'm most excited about, I think this opportunity for us, is to continue to take those lessons and evolve them. You know, I'm excited about where we can go as provider healthcare with the foundation that we put together in 2020. And if we can continue to leverage that foundation we put together last year into this year, and in terms of how we're reaching to people, how we're communicating to people, how we're connecting physicians and their patients. I mean, this is really the time. I mean, I think this is the time. As much as, you know, 2008, 2009, 2010, we did this whole EMR transition where the entire industry shifted. We're at the cusp of that today, where we're getting ready to shift again. You know, it's not just the value of the EHR, it's the value of all of these things working together. It's the value of connected information. It's the value of connected patients. That's our future. And we are right there on the edge of this next transformation of our industry. And that's what gets me excited. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. And, you know, that's what gets my team thinking about, hey, how do we push the envelope today? But also how we bring our community along with us. You know, there's a lot of folks that don't have ready technical access, and we can't leave them behind either. So we spent a fair amount of time about thinking about how we're going to meet that challenge as well. Because it's, you know, it's as cool as it is and exciting as it is and the opportunities in front of us, if we're not careful, you know, we will leave portions of our community behind, and that's not acceptable.
Bill, well stated. I want to thank you for joining us today. Your message of optimism is inspiring and just terrific. Thank you so much for joining us on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today.
I appreciate the opportunity. Listen, this is the work my team has done. I support them, and my job is, for a large part, to get out of their way. And I couldn't be prouder of this organization, the work that they've done. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk about that a little bit today.
Thank you so much.